Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. We'll read the first three verses together. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, what a wonderful place it is to be, even on a day where the weather seems a bit inclement. The Holy Spirit's been here. He was here this morning. Lives were changed. Matter of fact, eternities were changed. And again tonight, Father, we need you. Father, these are your people. And Father, nothing more that we would like than to serve you the rest of our lives. May our lives be strengthened. May our lives be lengthened because of tonight's message, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I have been announcing that I wanted to speak to you about health this evening. That is going to be the very case. I have a file folder that I carry in my briefcase everywhere I go. It's got a series of sermons that I work on. And constantly, I'm constantly trying to figure out how to help you and how to meet your needs. I have put in the front of my Bible some sermons that I just feel are so, so necessary. To be honest, I felt like there were a couple of sermons that we needed before I got to this health issue, and I thought, well, Lord, if everybody's healthy by the time I get to it, there'll be no need in preaching the sermon, and I appreciate all of you working with me on that, because they're, you know, the colds and the flus are running rampant right now, but I really think I can help you. To every young person, boys and girls, teenagers especially, I want you to look at me for a second. Listen to Brother Owens. You are the ones I'm concerned will listen to me least this evening. You are the ones that I could probably help the most if you would listen. You see, some of us are a little older. We've already put our bodies through some things that we should have never. And so we struggle sometimes because of self-inflicted things. And young people, listen, you get one body. That's it. And those of us that have been around a little while, if we could set you down and get you to listen to us, we could save you a lot of grief, and we could help you to have good health, and you could serve the Lord for a long time. You could have a very happy life. But you'll have to listen. Now, I know in some cases I'll be like a voice crying in the wilderness, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Young people, Brother Owens, you may think I'm boring tonight, but there'll be 30 years from now, you'll think back and say, thank God I did, or I wish I had listened as Brother Owens tried to help me with my health. Now, my sermon, as I sat down and prepared it, when I got to point number 26, I realized that there was a little bit much for the evening, and so this is going to be a two-part, maybe even a three-part sermon. I'll start this evening, and when I see those of you that normally don't falling to sleep, and those of you that usually sleep the whole sermon wake up, I'll know it's time to stop because your internal clock has gone off. Let me say this also. If I drop dead tomorrow, I still believe what I'm preaching and teaching to you tonight. The issue is not Jeff Owens. The issue is the truth. The issue is the practicality of the truth. And so don't judge the sermon based on how well I live it. Judge the sermon based on how true it is. And that's how you ought to do all things in life. God never told you that there would be a man who was perfect other than Jesus Christ. And so I just want to help all of us this evening, and I think I can if you'll allow me to. The story we read just a moment ago from 2 Kings chapter 5 is a story of a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. The Bible says that he was an honorable man. He was a great man. But it also says that Naaman had a disease. That disease was the disease of leprosy. He was a leper. Now, let me describe a little something about leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that starts with its symptom is you'll see like a little pimple, a little spot. It'll be a little blister, and it would start on maybe the earlobe, maybe the end of the finger, maybe on the eyelid. It always started small, and it was the kind of disease that would then spread throughout the body. It's a flesh deteriorating disease. It's not as popular today as it was years and years ago, but may I say, this disease of leprosy is on an upswing again throughout the world. You recently heard in the last 3 years of a new disease they call the flesh-eating disease. That would be a form of this old-time Bible disease called leprosy. It would start small. It would begin to eat away at the flesh. These small sores would develop into big sores, and as gory as it may seem, these small parts of the body, the ear, the fingers, the toes, once the disease had spread and it became full-blown, the body parts would actually rot and fall off. This disease was a disease where the pus from the infection would spread on the body. And they used to have a rag that they would use to wipe that pus off the body. You have heard the term that our the statement or saying, the verse in the Bible that says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, so you understand, the filthy rag was a reference to a community rag that was used for lepers in a leper colony. They would take a rag, they may nail it to the top of a post, and a leper could go by and wipe these oozing sores with that rag. Now, for one leper to wipe his sores on a rag that had been used by another leper did not matter. They already had leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy, but this was a contagious disease, and they didn't want other people to get the disease, and somebody that had never been in contact with it wouldn't go over and use that filthy rag. You've heard this saying, that old saying, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, you know? Got an ugly man, and a woman says, I wouldn't want to be within 10 foot of him. Now, where that comes from, that is a tradition. Back when they had a marketplace, and they would have an open market, a storekeeper would keep a 10-foot long pole, like a bamboo pole. If a leper would come around their outdoor market, they would take that pole, they would put it on the leper and keep that leper from coming into their store, and remember, an open market, to contaminate it. See, the body parts would rot and then fall off. Now, lepers were separated into colonies. That for the health and well-being for all of society. There was no cure. They had to get this contagious disease to where it could not infect and affect other people. Now, let me go on. Remember, so far, Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. He was a great man and an honorable man. His leprosy had evidently had not been known well enough that he had been separated into a leper colony. And during one of his raids, he took captive a little Israelite maiden. And she was working for his wife. So Naaman has a little gal now working in his home as a maid to his wife. And this maid knew about Naaman's leprosy. In verse 3 of 2 Kings 5 it says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So now this little captive maid that's now a servant in Naaman's home says to Naaman's wife, She says, boy, I wish Naaman, the mighty captain, I wish that he could go to where I used to live, because if he would, he could be recovered of this disease. There is a cure there. Well, someone told Naaman what this little gal had said. Naaman, he was a captain of the host of Syria, but he had a boss. Of course, it would have been the king. Now, the king heard about it, and the king said, boy, Naaman, he's one of my best men. I would like to see him get healed. So, Naaman, king, wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and that letter said, I'm sending my man to you, and I want him healed. Well, when the king of Israel got the letter, he said, oh, great. The king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with us. I can't heal this man. I don't have power over leprosy. And he is asking me to see to it that Naaman is healed, but I can't do it. And I think he's just trying to pick a fight with us. He's requesting something of me. I can't produce it. Now they're going to get mad and come down here and attack us. You see, this little maid, she maybe in the communication of this how to get healed, she didn't point out the exact way of doing it, or somewhere in the translation something was lost. Well, now the king of Israel is fearing that there is going to be an attack because he can't heal Naaman. Well, someone heard about it. And Elisha, the man of God, came to his king, the king of Israel, and said, King, listen, let me take care of this thing. I know exactly what needs to happen. And you write back and you tell him to go ahead and send Naaman to me. And so Naaman ends up getting on his horse, or actually in his chariot, and Naaman shows up outside the house of Elisha. You see, what this little maid was doing, she was saying, I have seen people healed. I have seen it really happen. Now, she wasn't referring to the Israelite government. She was referring to the church, and she was referring to the man of God that was there. Well, old Naaman jumps in his chariot. He goes to Elisha's house, and he gets to Elisha's house, and he says, I want to be healed. So, Elisha very calmly says, okay, I want you to go down to the Jordan River, climb out of your chariot. I want you to go out into the Jordan River and dunk yourself under the water 7 times. I had a sermon I preached years ago. It's called Seven Ducks in a Muddy Pond. And it was about him taking a dunk in that muddy pond. Well, that was the advice of the man of God. And you know, Naaman got mad. Naaman got upset about that. Now, the man of God said, you go to the Jordan River, you dip yourself in 7 times, and then you'll be okay. Naaman got mad. Naaman felt like he was being belittled. Naaman felt like he was being teased. Naaman felt like, hey, I'm a dignified captain, and you're telling me just to go down and dunk myself in the Jordan River? Now, the Jordan River was kind of a muddy river. It was a very active river. It wasn't a real clean river. And he said this, Naaman said, if you read the entire passage of Scripture, Naaman said, well, why not in the river Abana or the river Pharpar? Those are respectable bodies of water. You want me to go to that dirty, nasty Jordan River and dunk myself in 7 times? I mean, look at the clothes I have on. I've got me a brand new chariot that's got AM, FM radio, in-dash cassette. You don't know who I am. He didn't like it. Thank God one of Naaman's little servants were there and said, Master, please, why not obey and listen to this man of God? Maybe he knows something. He might know something that you don't know. So Naaman sucked it up and said, All right, I don't have anything to lose. I'm going to do it. Naaman listened. He went down. He dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 4 says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid, that this is the one of Israel. He dunked himself 7 times, and the Bible says, when he came up out of the water the 7th time, his flesh was made again as if it were a baby's flesh, and he was healed. Now, this story is a story of a man whose health was regained. And there are other stories in the Bible like this one. Many have been miraculously healed by God's method. It would be a wonderful thing if every time we were ill, we could go down to the river, we go down to the Potomac, we take 7 dips in the water, and we would come up fresh, clean, and healed. Only one problem. That doesn't exist. Oh, there are times when God miraculously heals, but it's not going to happen every time that way. And God wants us to, look for miracles regarding our health? Absolutely. We'll talk about that tonight. But wait a minute. I think He'd like us to use some good old-fashioned common sense, some Bible guidelines to take care of our bodies and to take care of our health. I made this statement this morning. America is sick. America is sick. And I'm not just talking about morally, though we are sick morally. America is sick. Health care in America is at an outrageous cost. Why? Because there is so much sickness, and also because the pharmaceutical companies and the medical profession gouges for everything that we're worth due to the United States government, that is pushing us towards socialized medicine, which is one step before communism. We don't have time to go into that tonight, but there's a little sermon in itself. God gave our bodies to us. It was a gift of God. But wait a minute. It was a gift that was a loan, because actually He said, I will give you a body, then you use that body to serve me. The Bible teaches that when you got saved, you became the home of the Holy Spirit of God. Living within your body is God in the person of the Holy Spirit. He expects us to do everything that we can to keep His dwelling place healthy. Folks, this church building is not the house where God lives. This is the house where God's people meet, so we have a place to meet and talk about God. But this is not the temple of God. This is the temple of God. You brought the temple of God with you tonight, and the temple of God needs to be taken good care of. When I came in tonight, thank God Mrs. Tennis was out here and trying to clean up and tidy up from the morning service, and she said, Brother Owens, I'm trying to get this cleaned up. I want the church to look nice. We do want the church to look nice, but I'll tell you something. Far more important than us taking care of this building is you taking care of the building that God gave you, in which He dwells as a result of your salvation. So, your body is His, and we need to learn to treat our bodies the way He would want us to treat our bodies, because it's where He lives. Now, I'm going to give you some practical points, and listen very carefully. Many of you are going to come and say, well, what about this? What about that? Wait until I'm done with my sermon, if you will. It's going to take a couple weeks to get it all in, but do come back for the other parts of the sermon, because I'll not get to everything tonight. But let me start out by saying this. Number one, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. Sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. You know, somebody gets ill, and somehow us arrogant Christians will say, well, God's getting them. What right do you have to say that God's getting anybody? How do you know that? When did God die and put you in charge? You have no idea. There is only one person that knows for sure if God is disciplining through sickness, and that is a guy by the name of God. And that's not your name. Not at all. And so I say to you, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline. But let me say this. Sometimes sickness is an act of God's discipline. Sometimes it is. Exodus 9:9, the Bible says, and it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Here's what happened. The children of Israel were in captivity. Moses was trying to work with their captor Pharaoh to get them out of that captivity. And the Bible says, because of the way Pharaoh was treating Moses, and the Bible says, because of the way that Pharaoh was treating God's people, that boils came all over the body of the Egyptians and Pharaoh because of the treatment of the man of God and the treatment of God's people. But folks, the Bible says it happened for that reason, which means it happened for that reason. But God has not told you that anybody is sick for any reason, because God takes care of that Himself. We too often make a judgment. We say, she's sick because of so-and-so. You don't know why she's sick. He's sick because he did this, thus and so. You don't know that. And I think it is very unfair of Christians to go around passing judgment on one another, saying, you're sick because of this, or you're sick because of that. I want to tell you something. I never pray that people are hurt. I never pray that people are hurt. I'm not going to pray that God hurts you. I pray that God gets you right with Him. That's what I pray. Look, even death, though, can come as a way of discipline. You take, for instance, the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:30, if I must needs glory, I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. I'm not going to try to find it, but I can promise you this. In the scriptures describing the Lord's Supper, it tells us that because people take the Lord's Supper unworthily, that some are sick and some even sleep. And the word sleep there means they die. Now, death is kind of the end, it's the big whopper disease. And God said, because you do something wrong, there are times when disease and sickness will come. But we don't know when that is. You don't know when it's God's discipline. And can I tell you this? If there were two people that knew, one might be God, the other might be the person themselves. God may say to Jeff Owens, you are suffering with this because of your sin. But I don't think that God will tell Mrs. Owens that about me. I don't think God is going to tell me, if Brother Bush is sick, that God is punishing him. I think if there are two people that know, one is God, and He knows it all, the other may be you, but some of you may even be wrong about your belief that you're sick because God was punishing you. But you don't know. But if God spoke to your heart about it, I'll accept it, but that's between you and God. But somebody else's sickness is not between you and God. Your sickness could be between you and God. So number one, sickness is not always an act of discipline. Sometimes it is, because over and over and over again, I could have taught on it all night long. I could have taken 45 minutes and taught on nothing but sickness can be the result of God disciplining us. But you see the point, it's here in the Bible. Number two, all healing comes from God. All healing comes from God. James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, if God suddenly and miraculously chooses to heal, that's fantastic. We're thrilled with that, and He does that. But can I tell you something? If healing comes by way of a doctor, it is not the doctor that did the healing. It is God that merely used a man as a tool to heal your body. God may use medicine, and I just want you to know, I think the Bible even talks about medicines. And so some preachers will stand up and say, you shouldn't be taking any medicine. You ought to just have faith in God. I have faith in God's Word, and in God's Word, there are recommendations of things that you can take and take into your body that will help you. Now, God may choose to use some type of medicine, but let me tell you, if you took some type of medicine and it healed you, it was God that healed you by using that medicine. Maybe it is. Surgery comes. God may use surgery to heal you. But let me tell you something. It was not the scalpel that healed you. It was not the doctor that healed you. It was God using the scalpel and God using the doctor. Now, I'm just, and listen to me very carefully. And don't take what I say and become an extremist on any one point. Listen to what I say for what I'm saying. And some people are so geared that I can say one thing they agree with and they think that I agree with everything they believe. That's probably not true. Listen to this. Surgery could help someone to get better. And I think sometimes surgery is necessary. But listen, you be real careful letting people cut on you. We have We have cut crazy doctors today.
Oh my God, it ain't working right. Cut her out. Cut it out.
Now, I don't know. I don't know what every part in your body's there for. But I don't think it's like when you put a carburetor back together, there's something left and you say, ah, let's see if we can do without it. You ever take something apart and have a piece left? Let's see how she runs without it. Probably manufacturer put it in there and it's unnecessary. Probably not. You ever put toys together for your kids at Christmas and there's leftover parts? Okay. Everything that's in your body, God put it in your body. And it had some purpose. I don't know what part your gizzard serves, but be careful letting them cut your gizzard out. I don't know what part certain parts of your body. You know, I don't know. But there's some reason for it. So what we do is, well, can't figure out what's wrong. Let's start taking parts out. Well, you can only take so many out in your troubleshooting methods before it stops working right because you took out parts you needed. I am not opposing surgery. I'm saying we need to be very cautious with surgery. I think there are times if your gizzard's rotten and you can't get it doctored up, you need to cut that burger out of there before it destroys the rest of you. I'm not a physician. But if you're listening to me, some of you can save yourself a lot of grief by not using good sense. Maybe God would heal you by a change of your own lifestyle. I'm talking about the way you take care of yourself. But if that be the case, then that is God doing the healing. See, our point is all healing comes from God. You know something? We have some cold air out of doors right now. That cold air is God's plan because I believe God can bring cold air into the world, and cold air kills germs. It kills germs. So it's maybe one of God's ways of slowing down the sickness in our area. I don't know. Now, everybody here has been miraculously healed from something. Everybody has. Every single person in this auditorium has already been miraculously healed from something. For instance, you had a headache, and now you don't have a headache. God healed you. You had the flu. Now you don't have the flu. God healed you. You had the common cold. Now you don't have a cold. God healed you. You had a fever blister. Now you don't have a fever blister. God healed you. You had an upset stomach. Now you don't have an upset stomach. God healed you. All healing comes from God. All healing. It comes from God. So, I said, number one, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline. Number two, all healing comes from God. Number three, sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. Sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. Folks, there's something you're going to have to accept. God can do what He feels is best, and that's up to Him. We have to let God be God. Even when we don't understand it. But sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest Christians, I think the greatest Christian in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ. And you know what he just said there? He said, "I went to God three times. I besought Him that an illness might depart from me. And God said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There are a couple different things that Paul struggled with. Let me tell you of two things I know for sure. Number one, Paul had sight problems. He didn't see well. Maybe God, this is where Paul went to God and said, "God, straighten up my eyesight." I also believe Paul had probably something like epilepsy. He had some things that hurt his health. If you ever studied the works of a man by the name of Flavius Josephus, who was a historian at the time of Jesus Christ, it lended a little bit that the Apostle Paul had some sort of an infirmity that had something to do with some sort of a seizure that Paul probably had. I don't know. And it really doesn't matter what it is. I just know this. The Bible says that the greatest Christian in the New Testament went to God 3 different times, begged God to remove a health problem. God did not. So, this is what Paul said. I will still glorify God because He has chosen this for me. He must want the power of Christ to be seen through me. What does that mean? It means this. God did not heal him for some reason. And Paul said, evidently, God wants somebody to see God working through me and me handling my illness and me taking my illness without being mad at God, without being upset with God. And somebody needed to see me deal with this illness the right way, and that is going to glorify God more than me being healed. And Paul said, whatever it takes, I want God to get the most glory out of my life. So, it may be that you will go to God and say, God, heal me. If it does not happen, then you should turn around and say, Lord, whatever you choose is fine. I want you to get glory out of my life. If it is a sickness that gets you the most glory in my life, I will bear this infirmity in my body for your sake. I'm not going to get bitter about it. I'm not going to get angry about it. I'm not going to take it out on everybody. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You know, do you realize that somebody needs to teach everybody else how to suffer? Some of you it may be God is wanting you to have a ministry regarding suffering. Somebody's got to teach people to suffer. Use your illness to turn others to Christ. Your illness may help you to reach your family for Christ. Your illness may help you to reach a doctor for Christ, or a nurse, or a friend, or somebody you don't even know. Now, you can spend all your time upset about it, or you can say, I'm there, I've got it. It's not going away right now. I will therefore glorify God even in this infirmity or in this illness. There are some preachers that would say, if you're not being healed, it's a lack of faith. Those preachers need to be real careful what they say about the Apostle Paul. He's the one that taught them all the scripture about healing. It's not a matter of you have a lack of faith. It might be a matter of this is something that God is allowing in the will of God. You know, I promise you this, though. I promise every single person under the sound of my voice, I promise you healing. I promise it. Because in heaven, you'll be healed completely. Yes. There is faith in the healing power of Jesus Christ, and He can heal anything. He can heal everything. And I will guarantee you one of these days the healing balm of Gilead is going to be placed on you and you will be healed. But very clearly the scripture teaches not everybody in this life will receive total healing. Next. Everybody suffers from some type of sickness. Everybody does. Sickness has come and it will come. We are very slowly growing old. Do you know what we are doing? We are in the process of dying. We were born and we started on a journey immediately toward eventual death. It's a slow death, I hope. Very slow. That's happening. Have you ever noticed something? We start out, when we're born, no hair, no teeth, eating mushy food. Do you know where we end up? No hair, no teeth, eating mushy food. Listen, everybody suffers from some sickness. Next. The anointing with oil and prayers for healing, it's a scriptural thing. Listen very carefully. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and that means help the sick to be healed. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, there, the Bible says, sometimes the sins can affect our health, and we need to face that. But nobody knows what sins and who's unhealthy or not healthy. Now, here's what it's saying there. It says, if somebody's sick, they can call for the elder. That word elder would be synonymous with the word pastor, and you could call on him, ask him to anoint you with oil and pray for you. Now, this is not necessarily a public thing. It says call on him, which is most apt to mean they called him to their home, or there was a private meeting, and they took a moment. The pastor took a little oil and anointed them, asking God to do the healing. So often in the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You look throughout the Bible, it's often that. But you say, Brother Owens, now, this sounds like them faith healers. No, this sounds like Bible. I am not going to let the charismatics, and when I say that, I'm talking about the Pentecostals and all the wild, crazy faith healers. I'm not going to let them steal doctrine from the Bible. You're looking at an old-fashioned Baptist that believes Baptist doctrine. But I have to tell you something. This is in the Bible. It's there. I am not going to ignore it in fear that somebody's going to say, are you Pentecostal? No, I'm not. I am not. But I believe the Bible. Now, I'm not a Benny Hinn, a faith healer. I am a man who has faith in the Word of God and the healing power of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says we ask someone, or someone asks for prayer, there's anointed of oil, and there's prayer. Now, I really believe too many times we use this as a last resort. Too many times we turn to God last, but we ought to do it. God may use doctors or medicine. Sometimes, well, when I pray for someone to be healed, I put a little anointing oil on my hand. I place my hand on the back of their hand. I get on my knees, and I ask that God would work in their body and that God would do a healing. I say, God, you may choose to use a doctor. You may choose to use medicine. You may even choose that the sick individual change something about themselves that corrects this problem. Or you may just choose to do one of those miraculous healings. And I've seen him do all of them. And then I say, whatever you choose, we'll accept it. If you choose that we go through this sickness and keep it, we will accept it. You say, if I don't lack the faith, you can call it whatever you want. I'm just telling you, I have faith in God to do whatever He thinks best. That's what I have faith in. Let's not let the doctrine of an Oral Roberts, who got so out of control on this healing stuff, let's not let it chase us away from the fact that God is a healing God. I don't understand Oral Roberts. You know, he went around telling everybody he could heal, and then he was collecting money from thousands of innocent people so he could build a hospital. Well, the knucklehead, why didn't he just heal them all? Why do you need a hospital if you're a healer? He was more a stealer than a healer. Those people are taking advantage of folks all across America. They come in, they got all this stuff of slapping you on top of the head, you're getting slain in the spirit, and all of a sudden, you know, your leg that was 6 inches longer than the other, they're the right length. God doesn't work like that. It's rehearsed, it's a show. Now listen, you ought to pray for your own health and healing. You ought to pray for other people's healing. But we need to give God the credit for all healing, all of it. Listen, folks, whether God healed you through a doctor or medicine or a change in your diet or your lifestyle, all healing comes from God. I believe in the anointing of oil by the man of God, but he deserves credit for it all. Number six, don't place blame on loved ones when sickness comes. Sickness comes and our emotions run high and fears, and if we're not careful, that physical sickness will bring spiritual and emotional tension, and that's not good. When somebody ends up sick, even if it's their fault, We need to love one another and help one another. The kids are sick. We immediately want to blame. Listen, let's not spend our time blaming. Let's spend our time trying to fix. You know, some husband that's got real, real good health. He's always saying, well, take care of the kids, take care of the kids. So one of the kids end up sick and he tears into his wife and it's all her fault that the kids are sick or vice versa. Listen to me, folks. That doesn't do you any good. That kind of attitude does you no good. You know, if your husband was supposed to be watching the kids and he fell asleep on the couch and was watching a football game and the kids were running naked in the backyard and during a snowstorm, then we got a problem. Somebody probably ought to get mad. But until you get to that level, let's help one another. Hey, and let's not get mad about what we might call inherited illnesses. I'm angry with my dad or I'm angry with my mom. Listen, that does no good. I feel like I inherited this mess. Now listen, it does no good to do that. Let's just help one another. Let's not cast blame. Number 7, generally speaking, little children and senior citizens get ill more often than others. Now, that's generally speaking. That means you've got to watch the health of little ones and you've got to watch the health as you get into your senior years a little more carefully. Senior citizens, you be careful of your health. We want you and we need you, and I want you to be healthy as long as you can. You will find out that Brother Owens will step up and qualify some of his statements about coming to church every once in a while. There are times when some of our senior citizens cannot get out and drive. They cannot see. They cannot handle their vehicles, and you're looking at a preacher that will protect them, and I'm not upset with them. There's some of you young bucks, you go to Walmart and go shopping on a day that you didn't even make it to church. You've got a problem. Yours is a character problem. But we will protect, because the seniors, your body begins to slow down. Your body's been through a lot. It has been through or in that process of deterioration, so you're going to have to be very careful. Now, we have to watch out for the little ones, and we have to keep them extra warm, and we have to watch out for them. Well, let me tell you all something. Some of you are going to have to learn something. That new baby is going to have to come into society sooner or later. I watch mothers who have a new baby. I don't see them in church for months. That's wrong. That's wrong. They need to come to church. Now, sooner or later, that baby's going to, they need to come in contact with something so their body can begin to fight some of these things and build up resistance to it. Now, I know people won't put their kids in the nursery. They stay home from church. And a lot of it's because parents just want an excuse. But some of you that don't have babies yet, and I'm not saying be ridiculous with that baby, but I am telling you, the baby has to come into society sooner or later. You're not going to protect it from everything. And you know what you'll do? You'll take that baby down to Walmart where there are thousands of people that live filthy and vile and all of that, and then they won't bring them to church. That I don't understand. And some of our nurseries are cleaner than your house. Let's move on quickly. Number 8, financial problems are often the result of health problems. Financial problems are often the result of the health problems. You get sick, you lose a day of pay. Then the doctor bills come, and the hospital bills come, and the medicine bills come. Some of you need to learn to ask your doctor to accept payments. And work it out so you can figure out. You know, one thing that we do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with asking the doctor, how much is this going to cost me? That's not wrong. Now, your doctor's liable to choke to death right there thinking that somebody actually wants to know what it's going to cost them. But there's nothing wrong with you asking that question. Now, listen, self-inflicted illnesses equal self-inflicted financial problems. That means if you have knowledgeably not taken care of the body God gave you, and then you have to get medical treatment that costs you all sorts of money, you have self-inflicted financial problems. Now, again, but not all illnesses that way. Sometimes there is an illness that comes, and it is the result of something you had no control over.
But I think every once in a while we don't take care of our body when we know we should. And as a result of it, we end up sick. And then it affects other parts of our life. Marriages are destroyed over finances. And finances can be destroyed when you don't take care of your body like you should. And so it may be affecting your marriage. But when you have financial problems as a result of an illness that you had no idea how you ended up with, God is most apt to kick in and help you somehow to care for those financial needs. Number 9, head of household should consider health insurance benefits when contemplating jobs and job changes. You say, I don't believe in insurance. That's all right. I'll not fight with you about it. I think in this day and age, if health insurance is available, I think it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'll tell you a little statement. Two men that are in heaven right now. One is Dr. John Rice and the other is Dr. Jack Hiles. They had a conversation one day. Dr. Rice was not for health insurance. Wasn't for any kind of insurance. He said, I'll have faith in God. That's all. I'm going to have faith in God. Brother Hiles said to Dr. Rice, he said, Dr. Rice, please don't require your wife to live by your faith. She may need some insurance somewhere along the way to cover her. Now, listen, if you don't believe in health insurance, that's fine. I'll not argue it with you. I won't fuss with you about it. Wouldn't take a moment for it. But I think when health insurance is available, it ought to be considered. Now listen, that means this. Your health insurance is a benefit in some employment opportunities. And that's a great thing. Some of you ought to be thankful to your boss that you have health insurance. It would hurt for some of you to write them a little note and say, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. But you know what we think? I deserve it. I demand it. Well, I don't understand. Somebody's good to us, and we think this society owes us something. You know, if we really got what we deserve, we all deserve to rot and die and go to hell because we're sinners, but thank God for the mercy and grace of God, and in American society where some of that is made available. But listen, if you change jobs, give a little consideration in this financial package to the value of health insurance. Health insurance is quite expensive. And so you say, well, right now, I'm making $9 an hour and I have health insurance, but I got a job offer for $10 an hour. Is there health insurance? No, but I'm getting $10 an hour. Now listen, folks, a dollar raise on the hour is not going to cover your health insurance. So there's more value to it than what you think. Just give consideration to it. Now, here's what somebody in here is going to do. You're a lazy bum. You don't have a job. You don't want a job. And so you're holding out until you can get that master health insurance plan. And you just need to go get a job. Health insurance or not, you need to work. But I'm asking you to consider the importance of health insurance. Number 10, now don't run to the doctor in the emergency room immediately over every little thing. Don't run to the doctor and the emergency room immediately over every little thing. You listen carefully. Don't you go out of here and misquote me. I am not diagnosing anybody's ailment. I am not telling anyone when to and when not to go. I'm just saying, some of you just go to the doctor and the emergency room for everything. For everything. I mean, the slightest little thing. You say, my health demands that. Okay, if yours does, fine. You go ahead and do it. But I just watch people. They're there 2 and 3 times a week. 2 and 3 times a week. Oh, now, if you have a critical illness, you might need that right now. But there are some, it's not like that. It is somehow we've got sucked into that the doctor is the answer to all of our problems and the emergency room is the answer to everything. I'll guarantee you many people go to the doctor just needed another day in bed. Some of you parents, it might be smart that you called an older mother and said, my baby has a runny nose. What could I do? Or you could go down to the doctor and then say, well, from the looks of it here, my diagnosis is your baby has a runny nose. Cost you $100 at the emergency room, call Mrs. Owens and pay us $50. I am not diagnosing any ailment. I am for doctors. I am for emergency rooms. I'm for it all. I'm just saying we run to the doctor over some of the smallest things over and over again, in the emergency room over and over again. Sometimes there's a natural healing that might take place. Did you know that when your body has a fever, it is your body's attempt to burn some impurity out of your body? So the body's trying to correct something. We try to stop the body from correcting it itself. And I'm not saying that fevers are good for you. It's a part of both an illness and a cure. It may be trying to fix itself. I can't tell you when to go and when not to go. And don't go out of here saying that I did. Some of you are such extremists, you don't listen to a thing that I say. You wake up every once in a while and say, it's going to the doctor. Then you've not listened to me. You've not listened to me. Some people, you're going to destroy yourself financially. Because every time you turn around for every little thing. Maybe your mom was a hypochondriac. She had everything and a pill to fix it all. Then pills are not going to fix everything. I mean, you heard that somebody up the street had it, so you got it. You know you do. Number 11. In the case of major medical decisions, it's wise to get a second opinion. In the case of major medical decisions, it is wise to get a second opinion. Money could be saved. Surgery may be avoided. Some cases, you even need a third opinion. Folks, some of you that are a little older, if you'd shake your head up and down, it'd help me with some of these young couples. I'm telling you, folks, you can go to one doctor and says, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You can go to another doctor across town, he'll say, that's not wrong with you. If I got two that can't agree, I may need to find a third and see if we can break even somewhere along here. I know what your problem. I know people that have surgery that their surgery did not fix one single little thing that was wrong with them, and some doctor says, sorry. Would you like this part put back? And sometimes they'll recommend you to their associate. And your charts. Who gets a cut? Many diagnoses are opinions. Try this question. How sure are you? How sure are you, sir, that this is the problem? So I say in cases of major medical decisions, it's often wise to get a second and sometimes a third opinion. Number 12, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself clean. Keep your body clean. If you'll keep your body clean, it's going to help you with your health. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. We have this habit of putting our hands up to our face. I'll call it disease, sickness. You get illness on your hands because your hands touch things. So you go to scratch your eye. You go to stick your finger in your mouth. You bite your fingernails. And because of that, you end up taking a germ into your body that hurts your body. So now listen, we're gonna continue shaking hands around church. We're not all going to put rubber gloves on. But may I recommend to you, my wife will tell you this, I shake hands with hundreds of people on Sundays. Every Sunday, the minute I get done shaking hands, I go to the washroom and I wash my hands real good. I don't quit existing in society. We're not going to wrap all of our furniture in plastic. I'm not going to walk around in a test tube. But if you wash your hands, it'll make a difference. Brush your teeth. Honestly. You don't brush your teeth and take care of them. You realize the rotting food and things will stay there. It'll rot and you swallow it. There are germs that are going into your digestive system. Brush your tongue. Floss your teeth. Keep that stuff out of there. It's not good for you. Did you know something? You know that when I got here, I'm trying to work. I'm working on our nurseries. I'm getting ready to change the carpet in these two nurseries. I'm going to put some new paint on the walls and a lot of things I'm doing. But, you know, we're going to get rid of toys and have been in our nurseries that are the kind that absorb bacteria that you can't do anything about. Stuffed toys don't belong in nurseries. You need something that can be washed thoroughly. And so you know, we have it arranged, and this has been happening ever since a month or so after I got here. Every toy in the nursery is sanitized every week. If your kids have been in there, they are taken, they are washed down, and sanitized. Why? When I got here, your children were sick. You don't always know everything that Brother Owens is doing, but the minute I got here, I said, all sorts of kids sick. And I said, it just keeps happening and happening. So I got a lady. I said, ma'am, I need my toys sanitized every week. Why? Because a child naturally puts things in their mouth. And if one child is not well and the next comes along and puts that very toy in the mouth, then we pass it around. I've got parents that don't come to church and babies that don't come to church, and we have nipped a lot of it in the bud. I mean, it changed, and it will. But listen, you got to keep yourself clean. Keep your body clean. Keep your hands clean. Keep your mouth clean. Brush your teeth. And I know you say, Brother Owens, this is church. Yes, I know, but your body is the temple of God, and we've got to take care of our bodies if we're going to have a healthy church. I'm not just concerned that we have 1,000 people in church. I'm concerned for your body. I'm concerned for your well-being, and I want to help you. This is the last point I'm going to teach tonight. Number 13, keep your house clean. Keep your house clean. Wash your dishes well so we don't spread disease all around the house. I'll get to some other things about this very thing, but you need to keep your house clean. You know something that I've noticed? I've noticed often when I go to a home where there's a lot of illness, it is also not a sanitary home. That's not always the case. That's not always the case at all. Keep your washroom extra clean. Germs will be killed by your cleanliness. Don't give them a place to live. You have to live in your house. But keep your home clean. Keep your body clean. Now, I'm going to stop here, but this is what I'm going to do. Because I think some of you are not going to listen to me and come back next Sunday night so I can help you more. I'm going to read the points that I'm going to teach next week, but I'm not going to teach on them. Number next, buy generic prescriptions when you can. Number 15, don't trust the hospital billings. Check on them. Number 16, drink lots of water. Number 17, eat right. Number 18, learn to fast. Number 19. I'm afraid. Exercise. With Richard Simmons. Number 20. Take some vitamins. Number 21. Get some fresh air. Number 22. Don't eat or drink after other people. Number 20, whatever's next. Sleep right. Number 23, stop your bad habits. Number 24, live right. Number 25, don't worry. I'm going to prove to you scripturally from the Bible that your worrying will deteriorate your health. Number 26, don't be a gossip. I'll prove to you scripturally, gossips lose their health. They lose their health. Now, I've done my best to try to help you this evening. If you listen to what I said and you'd apply it, and don't become an extremist in any one given area, and don't misquote me. What I've given you is a sermon and some teaching that has a lot of balance and a lot of thought put in it. Next week, we're going to talk about some more that will help us with our health. But if you've listened, you got a little help in regard to the body that God gave you where the Holy Spirit dwells. Not everybody gets the miraculous healing of a Naaman. Sometimes we have to deal with some things. We need to do all that we can to make ourselves as healthy as we possibly can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.